Hey, Parenting Beyond Discipline listeners. Ready to create a home that fosters love, warmth, and style? Look no further than Home Threads, your partner in crafting a nurturing environment. At HomeThreads.com, explore a thoughtfully curated collection of furniture designed for families who believe in positive parenting. From cozy reading nooks to durable playroom essentials, our pieces are crafted to enhance your parenting journey. Home Threads has an incredible selection of furniture, decor, and accessories like throw pillows, blankets to snuggle under for family movie nights or reading time that helps you create the warm, cozy home that is the foundation for happy family memories. I love all the great pieces I've gotten from Home Threads to finish the look in my home. Gorgeous yet durable and cozy accent throw pillows, blankets, and some really cute wall decor. I have an ocean theme throughout my downstairs, so I got a couple of really great wall pieces to finish that look, and some picture frames for the family photos. Visit HomeThreads.com/parenting today and get a code for 15% off your order. That's HomeThreads.com/parenting to get your code for 15% off your order. Because great parenting deserves a great home. Home Threads. Love where you live. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hello, everyone. I hope you're all starting to see the light at the end of this long tunnel. Now, if this weren't a parenting show with little ears listening, I'd actually probably put a qualifier at the end of long. And it's funny because although I try to be super authentic on the podcast, I definitely keep my language sanitized for the audience. I don't use colorful language often, but I do on occasion. And I actually, it reminds me of this conversation I remember my parents having when I was really young. I remember them saying that just once, actually my dad, I think, was the one who said this. He wanted to see a blooper, and maybe I'm aging myself with that term blooper. So I guess outtake is probably the technical term for that. But he wanted to see an outtake of Mr. Rogers losing his cool at tossing something down angrily and using an expletive. And then they both kind of laughed about that because he always was so calm, cool, and collected. And they just wanted to see if he ever got mad or what he looked like when he actually got mad. So anyway, I do hope a lot of you are able to get out and do more with your families now or planning some really fun things coming up because I know we're all ready to get out some more. We've been getting out a lot more We have some great plans for the summer. I'll share more as we get closer. We've been doing some beach time. My sister and my nieces are here in town this week, so we spent the day at the beach with them yesterday. And actually, Carter, our oldest, was in the water almost the entire afternoon. He was boogie boarding and swimming almost the entire day in the water. And the surf was rough. I tried to boogie board with him, but I just kept getting tossed around. And I'm pretty strong in the water. But I just kept getting tossed around. And when I would come in on the boogie board, I would come in and then it was so shallow that I'd try to stand up and I didn't have a lot of water to try to stand up, but the waves just kept coming and coming and they kept knocking me over. So it was a little rough for me and I kept waiting for it to smooth out and it just didn't. So, anyway, that was the afternoon yesterday. So I'm looking forward to some more calmer seas to get out there and do some boogie boarding. We also have some nice vacation plans this summer. But after the kids are back in school, I've also decided I want to hike the Narrows in Zion National Park in late summer. If you've never been to Zion, it is one of the most beautiful places I have ever been. And the Narrows is this iconic hike. It's pretty flat, mostly through a river, and you can go bottom up or top down. I'm going to do top down because you take a van and they drop you off at the top. It's 16 miles down through the canyon, mostly through the water, and you have to backpack in and camp overnight. And it's just something that a lot of people do. You get away from people, and I am just really excited to do this. It's been on my bucket list for many years, ever since we went to Zion. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago we went, and I just cannot wait to do this. So that's going to be the culmination, the end of my summer this year, a goal for myself, something to go do of my very, very own, and very excited about that. I'm hoping a couple of friends will be able to come with me. I don't feel quite ready to go take it on by myself. I mean, I could if I have to, and I will get prepped to do that just in case, but I am hoping for some company as I learn to become more self-sufficient. But anyway, for parents of toddlers, like that, this just feels like a pipe dream. I remember when our kids were little, we went years and years and years and, you know, barely had a date, let alone be able to get away for an overnight or do something, you know, crazy fun just for ourselves. But, you know, if you have help, if you have family around that can take your kids for an overnight and you have something you really want to do, just don't forget to set some goals for yourself. It's really, really helpful. If not, those days will come. They do get through toddlerhood. They are much more self-sufficient. They have friends they can spend the night with, and it's much easier to get away as they get older. So something to look forward to as you get through the gauntlet of toddlerhood with your young children, if that's the age group that you're dealing with right now. You know, I did though, however, while my kids were toddlers, I did get my graduate degree. So I always had something going. Okay, so the question today, this is a great question. I always say that's a great question, but it really is a great question because I'm going to talk about, you know, the aggression again, but in dealing with social skills with our young toddlers and preschoolers, because that's really, really a big focus in these toddler preschool years is those social skills. And they really struggle with these. And I'm going to dig into this in a little bit different way, in a deeper way than I have before. Give some really great examples on how to work with these young kids in negotiating their play skills. So I think this is a really great question and a great episode. So let's get started with Whitney's question. She wrote in and she said, "Hi, let me begin by saying I've learned so much from your resources and podcast. My almost 3-year-old is very smart and sweet. He's helpful and a super big brother to his 7-month-old sister. He's had trouble in the past playing with friends. Since the pandemic, we're even more out of practice. When he's with friends, he's so excited. He's very energetic and often has to be reminded to use his inside voice and to breathe to calm down. He's often so excited that his friends are turned off by his intense excitement. He starts off very polite and kind, will ask them to play, and they often say no. He doesn't get discouraged, and he keeps trying to play with them. I'll redirect him by prompting him to ask, how do you want to play? Sometimes they come around, but as toddlers do, sometimes they don't, and that's okay, it's their choice. However, when the child has repeatedly said no or has run away from him, he gets very discouraged and often pushes or reacts aggressively. Once he gets his feelings hurt, he continues to push and hit. It breaks my heart because I know his heart hurts. He has such a great personality. He's silly, creative, and is brilliant beyond his age. He has a photographic memory, so he knows his numbers through 100, ABCs, shapes, and colors, all before he was 2. Here's what I've tried. Redirecting and modeling behavior. Verbally explain before a playdate how to behave and react. We leave playdates once he starts pushing or hitting. Increase the frequency of playdates for practice. We read loads of books about friendships and kindness. We don't yell in front of him and never physically harm. He doesn't act aggressively towards us very often, but if he does, we go to his room to calm down. What concerns me the most is hearing other adults describe his behavior as aggressive. What can we do to prepare to re-enter his mother's morning out? This is a part-time daycare in the fall. He already does a great job of using his words to tell us how he feels. Let me add that he has all his essential needs met and eats loads of fruit and veggies. I stay home and work while he and his sister naps. We do loads of sensory activities and play outside often. His behavior is much better at home, but he seems to be triggered by other kids. Okay, so first I'm going to go over all the positive things I see with Whitney's son as she's pointed them out. Obviously she's pointed them out, but I see some really great signs that his emotional development is excellent for his age. So I want to talk about where he is and then talk about moving forward from there. So he starts out very well in control, even though it sounds like he's hyped up and excited. He's trying to stay in control using his words, also using his words for how he feels. So, you know, he's using words for his emotions. That's huge. A lot of kids are not able to do that for a while until four or after. So that's a really great sign that his emotional skills are really coming on board. So the next piece is then going to be the social skills. And I'm going to give a lot of tips for that as we get through this. I want to cover some background information first. The also thing is this little guy isn't even quite three yet. So, you know, that's really amazing. Already using words to describe his feelings. This is that foundation for early emotional competence, what we call emotional competence. So, and this is what we're really striving for. So this is just building the foundation, and he's got a great foundation very early. Lastly, he's already wanting to be socially interactive with other kids in his play, which for most kids starts 3.5 to 4. So he's not even three yet, and he wants to be interacting with other children. So that's the other thing. And actually, one of the reasons there may be some frustration with this, that his peers may not have caught up with him yet. So he's still dealing with some of the frustration on how to deal with that. So I want to talk more about that, some ways to navigate this when I talk about some ideas of things to work on. I'm going to get into that. But I also want to point out that you're doing so many great things to help him learn this and work on this. So I really think it's important to step through those, why they're so helpful both for you and for other parents, for Whitney and for the other parents. I'm going to talk about why these are important so that you understand what to implement and why, give some more tweaks and tips on a couple of things that can help turn this around and make this a really positive, great learning experience, help the playdates be much more successful. So I'm going to get into all of those right after a word from our sponsors. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code parenting for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code parenting at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Now that we're back after the break, I'm going to cover all the things Whitney is doing that are really helpful in guiding a toddler to learn better social skills in play. Then I'm going to go through some tweaks that can really help set up the play dates for even better opportunities for practice and success with these social skills and emotional skills. First, reading the books about friendships, kindness, and emotions. These are great ways to help kids learn skills when they're calm and quiet and their brains are ready to absorb the information. This is when kids learn the best, the most, when they're calm and they're quiet and they can really absorb the information. So reading books, having discussions about what's happening in the books, the characters, great time to teach emotion skills. That's the foundation for our social skills. We have to have really good emotion skills before we can practice those in a social outlet. So, also having frequent play dates to create opportunities to practice these social emotional skills is really important. We can't improve if we don't get a chance to practice. So, giving him the chance to practice, also great. Leaving play dates when he gets too aggressive also sends a really positive message that those behaviors aren't going to be tolerated, but it's done in a matter-of-fact way. It's this message that I can see that you're struggling with your big feelings today or right now, because maybe it was fine earlier, but now, right now, he's struggling. You've reached that threshold, and so in order to keep our friends safe, it's time for some calm, quiet time at home. We'll try again in a few days. So we're not punishing, we're not being angry, we're just, I can really tell you're struggling right now, so we're going to keep everyone safe, we're going to key everything down. We're going to go home and have some quiet time. So, you know, this is a common struggle for young kids. We really know this. We know this is a big area we're really working on, keeping those emotions at a level where they can respond without losing control. So this is a big thing they're working on. So we know they're going to struggle. When it all becomes too much, it's best to take that step back, to regroup, to try again another time. So this is a great way to handle this. So here are some things that you can do to increase the success. I wanted to share, I also love the discussing beforehand, right before you go in for the play date, having that discussion. But I have a tweak on this as well. So the preparing is great, just like with any area of struggle, be it going into the grocery store to make sure they're not, you know, running amok or asking for things or, you know, having a meltdown over not getting something, or we're going into a restaurant to sit at a table and what behavior we expect. We're going to talk about it before it's going to happen. Another one is going through a parking lot, walking right beside mom and dad, holding hands, whatever it is we expect. We want to have those little pre-coaching sessions before we go into something that is potentially an area that could be a problem. We're going to talk about what we expect. We're going to coach some of the answers, especially at first, with what we're looking for, along with any consequences, because these are all important pieces to this. So I'm going to cover this conversation, what this sounds like exactly step by step. But first, I want to cover a few more things that'll be helpful so the conversation makes more sense. And then I want to cover all the background before I get into that. So Whitney mentions helping her son change his language from "do you want to play" to "how do you want to play" or "how would you like to play," which is important because when given an option, a toddler or a preschooler will often just say no to a yes, no question, to any request, just as a way to exert power. They often don't even consider the question. They're not thinking, no, I don't want to play. They're just like, oh, I can say no. Here's something I can say no and just set some boundaries. They're not thinking about what they actually would prefer. They just like to be able to have the power to say no. So when we coach kids on how to join in ongoing play, we teach them to step back and observe first. see what the other child or children are playing and doing, and then come up with a way to add to that play. Now I'm going to talk about what happens if there is no one playing and how we're going to manage that as well, how we're going to coach that. But first I'm going to talk about this. So rather than asking, they want to add. So here's the first tweak for Whitney to work on. Going to a play date, it's a little different than joining ongoing play because likely the child is not already engaged in activity, but they could be. So there's two ways to approach this depending on what's happening. And this is great information for anyone who wants to help their children learn how to negotiate play, enter into ongoing play, or enter into play with another child when there is no play happening already. The first scenario is where one child or more children are already playing. So you want to coach your child to kind of sit back or stand back, observe what they're playing. You're going to really stand there with them and say, what are they playing? What are they doing? What does it look like they're playing? And if your child doesn't know, then you can point it out. This is the scaffolding where you're going to give them answers they can't seem to figure out, but give them the opportunity to try to figure it out on their own. Okay, looks like they're playing superheroes. It looks like maybe there's a Superman, and I don't know all the superheroes these days. There's so many. Aquaman, no, that's an old one. I don't know. So many superhero movies, and I don't watch any of those Avenger movies. But anyway, then you can help your child come up with a different superhero that isn't in the play. And then they can come in and be like, I'm going to be whatever. Pick their favorite superhero. I'm going to be Hulk, because there's no one playing Hulk yet. And then they can just join right in on the play. They're joining in on what the other kids are doing. They're not coming in and trying to take over. They're not coming in and trying to guide the play into something completely different. They're entering really nicely, kind of like a merge lane. So let's just say they go to the play date and the children or a child is already playing with trains and they're building the train tracks. So you can help your child figure out how they'd like to contribute. They can either spy a train that's off on the side, pick it up and decide about how they want to have that train join in on the play, or how they're going to help add the tracks. Oh, this is a cool building. Let's put this in here somewhere. I'd like to put it over here. Or maybe it's safer even to do something like blocks or Duplos. And they come in and they want to, like, I'm going to build the city where the train can come in and go through and pick up people in town and then take them back over to the train station over here. And then that brings them into, like, adding into the play that's already happening. They're adding to the play. They're not asking to play. Okay. What if no one's playing yet? You come to the play date, no one's playing. How are you going to help your child engage another child in play? Again, some options. You can either have your child choose what they'd like to play and then offer the other child first. So let's say your child walks in and they've got some amazing train set. We had lots of these, so that's why I'm using that. We had lots of Thomas the Train, like wooden buildings and tracks and trains. We had a ton of those. And so they come in and they see that and they're like, oh, I really want to build with that. So your child could say, do you have a favorite train? And then let the other child choose the train, and then your child chooses something that's left. And then instead of asking a question, they can make a statement or ask a question that isn't a yes or no question. So let's build a big train track. What should we build, or what should we start with? Now, these kids are really young, so these are some big skills. So we're going to sit down with them through the process and we're going to scaffold them. We're going to support them through it. Meaning you're going to take the lead potentially. You're going to fill in where your child is struggling through to help the process get off to a solid start. Once the kids are going, you can step back, let them go with their play, let them work through things. If they have little squabbles or little disagreements and they're negotiating, great, let them work through it. If it starts to key up, then you want to step in. You're going to listen for that when it starts to key up. Before it escalates, step in and assist the kids through the negotiations. So armed with this information, let's get back to the pre-play date coaching session. This is where we're going to go over the skills they will use, the expectations of their behavior and outcomes if things get too heated or if one or both kids are struggling to stay in control of their emotions. So it might sound like this. We're going over to Jack's house today for a play date. When we get there, we'll take a few minutes to see what's happening and explore the toys. Then I'll help you work with Jack to find a way to play together. Now, these first several times, you're definitely going to want to take the lead. Help the kids find a way they want to play, or help your child join in with a child already playing by coaching some good play entry skills like I already discussed in the previous scenarios. Then as he gets better, as the kids get better, you can just give some reminders in your pre-coaching session. Today we're going over to Jack's house to play. Remember how to ask Jack a fun question to begin playing together. Or remember that Jack's favorite thing to play is this, or his favorite train is this. So you could offer him his favorite train and ask him to play trains, that type of thing. Just kind of coach him on how to start the play out together. You're always gonna coach. This is really big. I did this with my kids a lot. You want to coach them what to do when they start to struggle. So I worked with my kids constantly with this. I remember when they were little. The first step is always reminding them that if they feel like they're getting too upset to come and ask for your help, if you start to feel angry, hurt, or upset, what are you going to do? Now, after you've coached this, they're going to know what to say. They're going to say, I'm going to come to you for help. If you get out of control, what will happen? And they'll answer, we will have to go home. So this way, all of this is well understood. It doesn't take long for them to remember to come to you to ask for help. My kids were really good about this. With just a little bit of coaching, they would come to me, Mom, I don't remember their language exactly, but they would just start talking about how what their brother or sister did that got them upset. And they would say, can you help me? And I would come in and I would help the kids, two or three of them, work through their disagreement, help them negotiate what was happening. So the steps to this are, we want to make sure that we are setting expectations or coaching like the initial behavior. Then we're going to ask them, remind them, tell me what you're going to do when we get there. Then they're going to tell you. This is a really important step because that really makes sure that it gets into their head about what they're going to do. This is after you've already kind of coached through the first few times of play sessions together and they seem to start picking it up after that initial, and they've kind of got it down or seem to have it down. And then you're also going to ask what happens if you lose control? Then obviously, if that happens, you're going to follow through like you've already been doing. If they're starting to get aggressive with each other or one is starting to get aggressive with the other, then you're going to just say, you know what, I can tell your emotions are getting really big right now. I think it's time for us to go home. Calm down, and we'll try again another day. The other thing I wanted to mention when I talked about play skills is that it may help children who are ready to start doing interactive play. A lot of kids aren't ready for this until about 3.5. Some kids will start around 3, so that's good. But if the peers are just not really quite ready for interactive play, you may want to find a few older friends if you can, a child who's 4 or above. Plus, children who are 4 or above also have quite a bit more emotion skills as well. And so the play can tend to go a lot smoother. When you've got 2 kids, 3 and under, it's a lot easier for them to lose control, kind of get upset with each other, say no to each other, kind of butt up against each other, those types of things. So that is another thing to consider if your kids can find an older playmate, or they have an older playmate in the neighborhood, that play may go a little bit better. And also they will learn social skills even better. They'll get even more ingrained playing with kids who are older, who have a little bit better hold and grasp of their social skills. Also, one other thing I wanted to mention is Whitney mentioned about feeling bad, feeling... She's concerned about other adults describing her child's behavior as aggressive. And this is a really difficult thing about parenting is, you know, it's hard when other people judge our parenting or judge our kids, or we feel like they are. And it's really not appropriate for other people to be calling our kids aggressive, especially when the parent is clearly handling it as soon as, you know, something is happening or it's keying up, you're taking him home. So, as difficult as this can be, one of the biggest things is to be able to not take it personally. Just understand that those parents are struggling a little bit. One of these days, their kid is going to be the one that acts out. They're going to go to preschool. They're going to bite someone. They're going to kick. They're going to throw. Every kid is going to do it. And just to try not to take that personally and just know that you're absolutely doing a great job, that you're raising a great kid, that he's emotionally competent, he's building his emotional competence, and you're really working on this. Like, you sent in a question. Obviously, this is important to you. Obviously, this is something that you want him to be very good at. And he's already ahead of his age, even in this ability to play with friends and connect with friends. So, and everybody has something that they struggle with, and this just happens to be what he's dealing with right now. You're doing a great job. So try not to worry about what, other parents are thinking or saying, or, you know, I know the big one is like the older people in the store when the kid's having a complete meltdown, how, you know, when they had little kids, their kids would never do that. And I'm like, either they just don't remember or they scared the crap out of them so they never misbehaved. So, you know, neither of those is really particularly either true or great. Okay, so if you are interested in learning more about teaching social emotional skills through these toddler and preschool years, because this is a super important foundation as they move into the elementary school years and start getting into building friendships and academics, the classes, You're Developing Toddler, You're Developing Preschooler, talk about social skills, the foundation for good social skills and good emotion skills, and the ways to build those things to work on that. Of course, all the positive discipline classes also build a great foundation for communication skills and mutual respect and how to coach it, how to model it, and all of those. And also all of the other 60 plus parenting classes are available on demand on the website, yourvillageonline.com. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.